You've called us again together to be before you. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for our meetings, our fellowship with each other, and above all with you. And Lord, also the word that you are going to bless us with now, our heavenly manna that we partake of. We thank you now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, bless you all. Good to be together again. And I trust that we'll have a blessed time. And as usual, the Lord, I believe, gives us something to discuss and talk on. And we're going to call this teaching today, Our Prayers Are Part of God's Purpose. Our prayers are part of God's purpose. And I trust today in this study that it's going to help you with your prayer life. For we all need to be reminded and we need to be encouraged that we're not to give up in prayer, as Jesus said to the disciples and the people. Men always ought to pray and not give up. Because the enemy probably attacks us more with prayer than anything else. And we know that by our own experience and how he tries to work, often with busyness, distractions, to keep us away from prayer and intercession. But I believe today, as we open this up, we'll see the importance of prayer and that our prayers are part of God's purpose. You see, God's actions and purpose, they also include our prayers of faith. So right from the creation, when God spoke the word and time came into being, you came into being, you were formed in the image of God. God has a purpose. Nothing escapes his eye or vision for one second or moment. And your prayers and intercessions are ordained of Almighty God. And now that we are a new creation in Christ, we are now filled, baptized with the Holy Spirit. We have the power of God moving us, working with us, not only both to will and do for his good pleasure, but also guiding our prayers and our intercessions. That is why we stress so much the baptism of the Spirit, the praying in the Spirit in tongues, which is the perfect will of God praying, interceding through you. Now, often we know what we're going to pray on because we get an understanding of this, and then we find ourselves going over into tongues in the Spirit, because that is praying the will of God in that situation. In other words, that we've shown before many times that our prayers become the prayers of the Holy Spirit, Christ, who is now our intercessor. And you can be well assured that Christ's prayers and intercessions are the will, the perfect will of Almighty God, ordained from the foundation of the world. Now, when we can keep that in mind, and we can open up and teach on this, this works within us a desire, a will, an unction in which to pray. It encourages us that when we get into prayer, we're praying in the Spirit. I am praying the will of God into being. And that should be an encouragement to us in which to pray and not give up, as Jesus said. And this, of course, would explain why the enemy attacks like he does. Because our prayers, our intercessions, are dividing his hold, his kingdom. Your prayers, praying according to the will of God, is exposing him, is weakening him all the time. when Satan is finally cast out of the heavens, which the book of Revelation reveals to us, that is done because prayer saints have prayed, have warred in the spirit. And God holds all those prayers before the mercy seat of God. Not one of them is left out. Your prayers, your intercessions, your praying according to the will of God is before the mercy seat of God. They're all there. So be encouraged and don't let the enemy try to hinder you, to keep you busy, out of the will of God, out of your closet, meeting with God in prayer and intercession. In actual fact, when you grasp this and this drops from the head to the heart, you're going to want to pray. You're going to give that time for prayer and intercession. And you're not going to let the enemy have the upper hand like he tries to do. And sadly, he works through family, through your spouse. He can work through many, many ways trying to keep you out of your prayer closet, seeking the Lord in prayer. And you will find that you will fight for this. You will say no to those hindrances because your prayers are part of the purpose of God's plan before the foundation of the world. Isn't that exciting, brothers and sisters? Doesn't that spur us on that God hears our prayers, for he says he will hear the prayer of a righteous man, for it avails much, as he says in James. And it does. And we should not give up with our prayers and our intercessions also, because prayer also changes God's mind. Did you know that? God was going to destroy the children of Israel and raise up a new generation through Moses. And Moses stood in the gap and changed the mind of God, because he said, if you do that, what will the nations think, that you couldn't preserve and keep Israel that you called out of Egypt? What do you think it will look like? In other words, he was saying, this won't give glory to your name. And God had another mind. He changed his mind. Look at the standing that Moses had with Almighty God. And you have that same standing. You're now baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, the fullness of God himself dwelling in you. Can you not see this, brothers and sisters? No wonder the enemy doesn't want you praying effectually, praying the will of God, attuned with the Holy Spirit and his word. That's why we study the word of God, because the word of God shows us how we can pray, how we can translate what we read into prayer so that it may be birthed through into this life. This is why Jesus said, pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You are praying the will of God. You are birthing it through as you stand in the gap in prayer and in intercession. You are praying this word, the revelation of this word, into being. That is what's so amazing about prayer. And I think a lot of you have never seen it like this. It changes the mind of God. When you stand in the gap for your rebellious son or daughter, or some situation, or something that is going on in the family that God should judge, and rightly so, but your prayers can change the mind of God in that situation. It's called, Lord, have mercy over their souls. Have mercy over my rebellious son. You are appealing to the mind of God, to the heart of God. You are reminding him that it's not in his heart that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. You are standing in the gap as an intercessor. You are filling up, in other words, that which is lacking. I taught that a few weeks ago, that each of us fill up what lacks in the body of Christ. And here is where you do it, in prayer and intercession. This is why we pray one for another, as James 6 tells us to do. If any are sick or oppressed or whatever it is, we stand in the gap, we pray one for another. There's sickness in the body of Christ. There's sickness in our church. And when we hear of this, we stand in the gap and we pray the will of God, that by his stripes we were healed at Calvary. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Your healing is very much dependent on your commitment to prayer and taking this seriously. It may be your prayers that will raise up that brother or sister. Don't always keep depending on the pastor and his prayers. Do you know, I've heard people say, I'm asking you, pastor, to pray because I know God answers your prayers. That is idolatry. Why isn't he answering your prayers? That is the question. At the foot of the cross, the ground is level for all. That's what it says. Thank you, brother. You put Ezekiel 22 up there. And I've got it already down in my notes. So there we are. The Lord knows. He's going ahead. This is an important study today. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge. Are you going to be that man or woman? That is the question, brothers and sisters. Jesus said, my house is a house of prayer. But you've made it a den of thieves and iniquity. This is what it is. Prayer changes circumstances. Prayer changed Israel from being destroyed as a nation by the intercessions and supplications of his servant Moses. You see, we don't pray to change the will of God, but we pray to live with his will to receive. And how do we know the will of God? By learning the word of God. The word of God is filled with our prayers and intercessions. When we are in line with the will of God, God will answer. The faith is there. It's quickened to us. But we have to pray in line with his will. What does it say in 1 John 5:14-15? 1 John 5:14-15, he says this, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So knowing the will of God creates within you a confidence, because you're praying according to his will. I know that he has heard me, in other words. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him, verse 15. And then he goes on, if you see your brother or sister sin, then you can stand in the gap. You've got the confidence. Why do you have the confidence? Because it's not in God's heart that any should perish. That's why. It's not rocket science. It's this. The problem is we're too busy with other things. Our minds are on things of the world, distracted, instead of the purposes of God. In actual fact, our day, each day, should be a day where we're offering up our prayers and intercessions to God. That's one of the great purposes. You say to me, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't seem to have a ministry or whatever it is. Here it is. One of the most powerful ministries you can have is to pray. Far more powerful than my ministry and what I'm doing, as important as it is. We're all called to pray, to set ourselves aside, to mean business with God, but to line the will of our prayers up with the will of God. And how do we know that? By getting into the Word of God, by our faith in God's Word, Romans 10:17. I'm going to go to this scripture that our brother has already put up in Ezekiel 22:29-31, because here they're asking God to spare, to forgive Israel. It wasn't just with Moses. Israel continued to rebel and sin. And God raised up the prophets. And a lot of those prophets stood in the gap and prayed that God would have mercy over them. That's what's going on here. And in verse 29 of Ezekiel 22, he says, the people of the land have used oppressions, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor and needy, and they've wrongfully oppressed the strangers. This is what they're doing. This is what the wicked leaders are doing in Israel. And he says, so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. Therefore I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath, and I have recompense their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord God. He looked for someone to intercede, to supplicate, and found no one in a nation of people. Have things changed? Does human nature change? No. And God is saying the same thing today. He's looking for those who will line up their will with the will of God. And that's why, brothers and sisters, we have a responsibility in FGA. By what we receive, the meat of the word, the purity of God's word. Here am I, use me, Lord, to fill up the gap. That's all you've got to do. That's all you have to do, is make yourself available. And if you mean it, God will use you. And you will begin to see prayer on a completely different level. Some of you have become tired with prayer. And you know why? Because you're praying the same old things. Repetition, and they're not inspired and quickened by the Holy Spirit. How does it change? It changes as it changed for me. Lord, let my prayers be the prayers of the Holy Spirit. Let them be of your heart, your heartbeat. I need to feel how you feel. I need to understand how you understand. Give me the unction of the Spirit to pray, to supplicate before you. I'm tired of my prayers. The same old thing, and nothing happens or changes. Yes, I've been there. There are times when my prayers have gone no higher than the ceilings because I'm not lining my will with the will of God and his word. We become tired of hearing, and we mustn't. Another great prophet God called, Isaiah. And what does Isaiah say? Isaiah 59 and verse 16. 59 and verse 16. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness is sustained him. There we are, no intercessor. Again, Isaiah saying the same thing. And God had to come in flesh to be that intercessor who would go be put to death, who would raise on the third day, glorified in heaven. There he is, the intercessor himself, praying the will of God that the Father may hear. Thank God he prayed the will of God for you and me, that our Father would accept us. We would not be here otherwise, brothers or sisters. So we see then that prayer is also promised for his children, even though he has foreordained the outcome of all events. Because God foreordains everything, nothing escapes his eyes. He knows from the beginning to the end. He includes our prayers. Your prayers by the Spirit are included and have been foreordained. So what is coming out of your mouth never takes God by surprise. This is why I always say you always have the victory when you pray, and you pray according to the will of God, because they're foreordained. For what? To glorify God's name. Your prayer life is to glorify him first and foremost. And he's ordained that your prayers will be answered. You will pray the prayer of faith because he's taken the first move. And thank God he has, because it's not in us. God ordains the rise and fall of nations and includes our prayers and intercessions in them. You have the power of intercession to bring down corrupt governments. You have the power of prayer to pray to change the poor, the oppressed, the corruption, the violence, the sexual immorality, it's rife. You have been given the power in prayer to change events. That's why God is in control of the rise and fall of nations as well as Israel, because we see the history of her. God says he sees a sparrow fall to the ground. Nothing escapes his eyesight. God sees the good and bad actions of men. Nothing escapes his eyes. We have the authority and the power to bring the wicked to judgment. God has raised both the good and the wicked. He's raised vessels of honour and vessels of dishonour. Some said to me, well, how do I don't know whether I'm a vessel of dishonour. I can only say to them, keep coming, keep listening, endure and stay with it to the end. And they're clear signs you're a vessel of honour. He knows all things. What does it say in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10? Ephesians 2 and verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Isn't that a lovely verse? We are his workmanship. This is why I encourage you. We are a work in progress. It's not finished yet what he's doing with us. It's not unveiled yet to groaning creation, but it will be. That's why an artist or sculptor never shows their work to the public. It's unveiled when it's finished. And that will be God's creation. Revelation 12, to be manifested, revealed. Romans 8, here we are, his workmanship, created what? In Christ Jesus. For he's risen. He's the new humanity that's gone before, the first fruits. So we're created in him. For good works, works of faith, works that glorify God, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So your walk each day, which is a miraculous walk, has been prepared by God for me, and I walk in it. Now start believing. It's Romans 8, walking in the Spirit. God's ordained that I should do that for his glory and for good works. Don't ask me how he does it. He's God. He does it. Just believe. With that simple childlike faith. Let's see more of the decrees of God, how he works. Remember, we're talking today, our prayers are part of God's purpose. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2 and verse 23. Acts chapter 2 and verse 23. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. What is Peter saying here with his sermon to the people? He's saying here that you have delivered by the purpose of the foreknowledge of God. In other words, this did not take God by surprise. God had foreordained that he should be crucified. That was the will and purpose of God in working redemption. And Jesus' prayers in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed like drops of blood, that sweat from his brow, he's praying the purpose of God, the will of God. He's not fighting against it. He's dealing with his flesh, like us. It caused that intercession, that groaning, the pain of it, the anguish. God in flesh is about to die. Never happened before. God is uncreated, eternal spirit. Always has been, always will be, never was. And he's about to die in flesh. That is why I always say the victory was won in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he settled and surrendered his will with God's will. There is prayer. There's prayer, intercession, lining up with the will of God. How did he know? Because he knew the will of God. He knew the word of God. He read Isaiah, fulfilling God's plan through him, the redemption of the world. This is why, brothers and sisters, your prayers are far more than you realize. You are praying the will of God into that being. When you pray for your sons, your daughters, your unregenerate wife or husband or family, whatever it is, you are praying the will of God for them. Because you know it's not in God's heart that any should perish or die. When you hear yourself praying, you're lining up with God's heart and will. You should take courage that your prayers are the prayers of God for that person. I always look at it like that. Because it's been foreordained. And God foreordained that I should pray this. Can you see this, brothers and sisters? God is sovereign. And he includes your prayers and intercessions and the prayers of this assembly and every other saint who's walking with God, who's truly born again of the Spirit. Finally, let's look at Acts 15 and verse 18. Acts 15 and verse 18. Known to God from eternity are all his works. They're known from eternity. So we've shown you today, brothers and sisters, how the sovereignty, the will of God plays such an active part in your prayers and intercessions. And now you're beginning to understand why he baptizes us in the Holy Spirit, to pray with those other languages that is communicating the perfect will of God and intercession and supplication in that situation. And we know a lot of what the will of God is. We know that it is his will to save our loved ones, family, and so on. We know that it is will to heal us and to raise us up. We know that it is his will to provide for us so that we can pay our bills, we can have food on the table. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread, the psalmist says. We know it's his will. We know it's his will to pray and encourage one another, or when a saint is going through a trial. We know it's his will to pray and supplicate that their faith will fail not in this trial and test. You are praying the will of God in that situation. How can we doubt? And yet we do at times. And we're all of us going through trials. Every one of us. And everyone who listens to this teaching, because it's going out now to the four corners of the earth. We all have trials, trials of our faith. Why? God uses them for such messages like we're having today, to get it from our heads to our hearts. It's not a mistake. Look how God taught Job. No one has gone through trials like he has. And all he could do was just stand firm and trust God that at the end God would bring him through. And God did. And it seemed everybody turned against him, including his wife. They were all negative. They certainly weren't praying the will of God for him. They were judging him. No, you'll find very often your trials is between you and God. And God is saying, trust me, stand firm in this, even though it's a storm, it looks negative, the mountains seem impossible to conquer, whatever, stand firm and see the salvation of God. And like Job, in the end, God doubly blessed him. But boy, what he learnt about God. I know that I shall see my Redeemer. He had a revelation of Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ. Is Job any different? No. Are you any different? No. The same God that blessed him, preserved him, is the same God and Father doing the same with you and I. That is why our prayers are part of God's purpose. He's Almighty God. Nothing escapes his eyes, his attention. And he's working everything with his infinite wisdom, mind, and knowledge. He's working it all together for good to them that love God. Your life is not a mistake. What you're going through is not a mistake. It is the plan and purpose of God. And if you are out of the will of God, then God is great enough to align and bring you back to his perfect will and plan, as he will do with Israel, a nation. He's Almighty God. And that is why we are to pray. We are not to give up, but to stay with it. Continue in prayer and intercession, and you watch. You watch how God will turn events, how he will change circumstances, how he will move through the heart and attitude of mind of people, or whatever it is. He says, stand and watch and see the salvation of God. God wants you, after you pray, to have that expectancy within your heart. What's the point of praying otherwise? So as I close, we can see why the enemy tries to stop us to pray, can we not? Don't play his game, don't entertain him, come against any of those hindrances that are stopping you, and you go confidently into your closet and meet your Heavenly Father in communication and prayer. I trust you've been blessed by this. I know I have. And I trust that it's helping you, encouraging you not to give up, but to continue in prayer, in intercession, because God sees those prayers. He sees the heart. He sees you when you go into your closet. And that is a good reason why the enemy tries to hinder us, to stop us in our prayers. Well, don't play his game anymore. Stand firm in Christ. We've heard the word today. Every blessing to you all.